Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 3 June. Can you believe it? June already. 2024. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. I'm going to bring up a very, very special guest in a minute. I'll introduce him just in a second. Before I do that, a prayer request tonight. Please, I got called in to me Thursday in the office. I told him to mention tonight. A gentleman that's been a friend of ours in Mississippi for quite a while, Benny Poole. Benny Poole asked for prayer, please. He's had a stroke, and he's some better, but still fighting it. And he asked us to remember in prayer, just like we tried to do Daryl and PA and others. A stroke is something, folks, that obviously can change your life forever. So keep bending your prayers, please. I was asked to continue this week the grab bag we have offered on special. We're going to do it for about 3 more days. The grab bag special, full of all manner of books, DVDs, CDs, things are no longer in the catalog that are very well done articles and books and very important DVDs and CDs, folks. There'll be a box full of them. I'm talking about a box full of them. $55, that includes shipping and everything, right to your front door. You can pass them out with your friends, make copies of them. We don't care. We want your hands. They're no longer in the catalog. We want you to have them. We don't have to worry about them laying around here and get thrown away. They're too important. So if you want a grab bag from us, just call us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. You can talk to Lisa tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. She answers the phone for us every day but Thursday. Tell her what you want. She'll take your order and write down. You can send a check if you like, whatever you want to do. But I will tell you this, folks, that last month was the slowest month we ever had for donations. Literally the slowest month ever. So keep that in mind. If you don't mind, if we can help you, we want to. But if you can help us keep the light bill paid, appreciate it. Our guest tonight is someone I've watched for a while. I've read his articles. I've seen what he's done. He's a thinker and a philosopher. His name is Dr. Edwin Vieira. He holds 4 degrees from Harvard. He's absolutely... Well, compared to me, he's absolutely the brightest bulb in the house, okay? And he's for 30 years, he's practiced law with emphasis on constitutional issues. He's also one of our country's most eminent constitutional attorneys, having brought 4 cases that were accepted by the Supreme Court and having won 3 of them. Now, that says a lot, folks. He's an authority in a lot of things. He's certainly an authority in the financial structure of this country and what's happened to it. He wrote a two-volume book called The Pieces of 8, The Monetary Powers and Disabilities of the United States Constitution. And also he's written a co-author under a nom de plume of a political novel entitled Christ Maker, a federal affair, which, folks, by the way, is not very fictional, to tell the truth. Let's talk about the crisis of the Federal Reserve and the political upheaval causes. Folks, that is imminent. So I want to bring on our guest now, and we're going to let him give a little bit of bio, too. Dr. Edwin Vieira, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor. Glad to be with you again.
Good to have you, sir. It's been a long time, but I have to tell you, and I mean this sincerely, I don't say this to everybody I know, I highly respect you, the knowledge you have, and what you've tried to do. Thank you for standing the gap, so to speak, and helping us fight this battle.
Well, I appreciate the comment. Thank you.
Well, we know what war here is. As my theme song says, we are at war. But tell the folks who Dr. Edwin Vieira is. Tell them a little bit of background about you.
Well, as you said, I spent a little time in Cambridge, Massachusetts at Harvard. Had 3 degrees in chemistry, a degree in law. Then when I came out, I was with the Navy for a while. And afterwards, I went into what I would call civil rights litigation. That was the primary focus. So that's all of a constitutional nature. I think, obviously, the people immediately start talking about civil rights. You're talking about the First Amendment and so forth. And I did that for many years. And then subsequently, I've spent most of my time either writing or lecturing, being in a number of what I call them, YouTube-type presentations, to a great extent on the problems involved with the Federal Reserve System, our monetary problems, which are, well, they've been percolating for a very long time, but now they're coming to pretty much a steady boil, and we can see those increasing, I would say, geometrically as the years go by. We don't have a lot more time before that system goes into a final chaotic sequence of self-destruction. But that's just one of the problems, and I think that one they'll be able to manage to a certain extent because a great deal of the monetary situation is of an international nature, not simply national. So not that they'll be able to correct it, not that they'll be able to salvage it, but at least it may not blow out in what's called a hyperinflationary event, a la what happened in Weimar Germany in the 1920s. But we have a number of other problems, interrelated political problems, that may dwarf in comparison what we may be seeing shortly with respect to the Federal Reserve, because a number of these problems, of course, as everyone knows who's listening to this program, are tied in directly to the election this November, so that's not too far away.
No, it's not. Well, you know, I don't know how you can even say that, man. I mean, we've watched, and I know personally, I've lived in this nation, in this country for 75 years, and I watched, talking about finances, I watched my retirement. I retired about 10, 12 years ago, and I watched my finances dwindle away, especially in the last 4 years. The value of the dollar in the last 4 years has went down, I would say, at least 30%. That's what I can, from figures I found out. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's at least 30%. Last few times that I have been to the grocery store on my own, I have noticed what I would consider to be somewhere between 30 and 40% increase in the things that
Absolutely.
I would normally purchase.
Yes.
Without any necessary increase, obviously, in quality and so forth and so on. So the price is entirely a monetary phenomenon. It's the same product, but at a radically increased price. Of course, gasoline is another problem. Seen it with a lot of local taxes. For instance, real estate taxes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, oh, yes, absolutely. So you see a lot of instability. And instability works both up and down in the real estate market, but it is manifest, at least where I live, out here in the western part of Virginia, in Front Royal, which is, oh, it's pretty close to West Virginia. I would say it's gone up, a good 10 to 12% just in 1 year. So
well,
that's remarkable because I've been here in this location for approximately 12 and a half years. And now the most that it had gone up, and it was a steady progression, was like a total of about 1.5 to 2%. So it's taken a real jump in the last year.
Yes,
and that's
has.
Another area we'll see it, because, of course, local governments can't print their own money. Well, state governments can't print their own money, and therefore they're in a difficult position relative to what the federal government can do. And their only solution, of course, is to borrow, and the markets will correct that problem by imposing more and more stringent interest rates on them. Or they can increase taxes. Those are the two choices. So I think we may be seeing an increase in taxes at the lower levels and increase in what's called inflation, that is depreciation of the currency unit, at the national level, because Congress and the Federal Reserve are really not constrained on that side of the operation. There's nothing that constrains them. We saw that with the tremendous expansion that went during the COVID situation.
Yes.
And that's the problem. Once they become, it's like being hooked on narcotics. Once they're hooked to a sufficient degree on inflationary finance, that is printing of money, increasing debt rather than taxation, which is always unpopular, that seems to be the way that governments go when they're in the last throes of dissolution. And also, you have to add to this that this is not accidental. The Democratic Party is very much in favor of inflationary methodologies, if you will, and they really have what I would call a destructive impetus with respect to this country. They're doing everything they can to rot out and collapse the foundations economically, socially, culturally, politically, legally. We're just seeing this in these cases that are going on. And one way to do that is through a debauchment of the monetary system. It was Lenin who said way back, I think it was even before the Russian Revolution of 1917, that one sure way to overthrow the capitalist system was to debauch the currency, have hyperinflation. And he couldn't have been more right. That was historically true, but it certainly became even more true in the era of paper monies that followed World War One. And I think we're in the twilight of that era now. They can't do anything about it. They can't correct the problems that they've generated. And they're just going to have to ride this boat until it sinks. And
I don't think it's too far from sinking. It's taking on water really rapidly right now.
Yeah, well, these things get out of hand at a certain point. They always think they're in control. But you look at any of the hyperinflationary events that occurred in the 20th century, for instance, the bankers and the government thought they were in control there, too, until it got out of control. There is a political movement in this country centered in the Democratic Party to undermine as much as possible the free market economy and drive this country further and further in the direction of what they call socialism, whatever that may mean to them, centralized government control of the economy. Let's just put it that way. There are many forms of socialism, if you will. And one method for doing that is to make completely untenable the financial operations of the governments you want to see destroyed or changed, if you will. And that's what they're doing. I look at a lot of this and I say, this isn't accidental, and this is not a matter of stupidity either. You don't get into many of those positions in the banks and in the Treasury Department if you're just plain stupid.
That's true.
Granted, there may be some out there, maybe too many of those people there now. But I think the ones who are making the actual policy know what they're doing. And maybe some of them actually believe in what they call the new monetary theory, which is that government is not constrained in any way when it's printing money. Essentially, there's a spigot that they can always turn on. But I think a number of them, from what they do in other areas, such as the unlimited immigration, the invasion, let's be frank about it, of this country, they really want to make a fundamental change. That was Obama's promise. It's going to fundamentally change America. And one of the ways you fundamentally change this country in the direction of centralized control is by destroying the free market system. And the free market system depends upon sound money. Every free market transaction is denominated in money units, right? They're prices.
That's right, yes.
And all of the production, distribution, consumption are monitored or controlled in many instances by the price structure. Yeah, that's how people invest on the basis of where they see prices going up or going down. People consume on the same basis, so forth and so on. And that price structure is denominated in a monetary unit. Now, if the monetary unit itself is unstable, then the price structure becomes unstable, and that everything that the price structure tries to reflect or monitor or control becomes unstable. And that was Lenin's point. He recognized that a capitalist system, free market system, depends upon a free market structure of prices, and that depends upon a stable monetary unit. So as long as you destroy the stability of the monetary unit, everything follows. Everything goes with it. Maybe not immediately. It may take a while
for it to happen. Yes.
But it will happen as surely as night follows day.
Well, we haven't had
And I think that's where we are.
We haven't had a monetary system based on anything of value since at least 1964 when they took the silver out of the coins. That was about the last we had of any shred of monetary value. Now, I run this this fact on computer three times to make sure it's right on this. I put in $50,000 in 2000. You would have to make what to equal that today? Now, I know, Edwin, this sounds ridiculous, and I looked it up three times to make sure it was right. For $50,000 of value in 2000, you need to make $91,000 now, a little better than that. Now, you check it out for yourself. I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up, folks. Check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, almost double. Now, folks, that's why...
And those numbers depend upon what you use as kind of the substrate of the calculation, but no matter what you use, you're looking at one-third, double, and in some instances, some people say even more than that. What's interesting about this is to show you how far the government is removed from what I would call legal hyphen economic reality. There is a statute in Title 31 of the United States Code, Section 5119, which requires the Secretary of the Treasury to maintain the equal purchasing power of all forms of the United States currency. That's Federal Reserve notes, coinage, and it would include the gold and the silver coins that are being minted, have been for a long time, since 1985, out of the Treasury, out of the Mint. And the Secretary of the Treasury is supposed to do this at a valuation of gold of 49 2/9 dollars per ounce. That's his statutory duty right now.
Wow.
And it has been since late 1970s, that particular number. That came out of the Bretton Woods Agreement after the war, World War II. 42 2/9 dollars per ounce is what he is required to use as the benchmark for the price of gold with which to make the purchasing power of all forms of United States money the same. That includes Federal Reserve notes, various forms of coinage. Well, what is the so-called price of gold today? Last time I looked, I happened to stumble on it this morning. It depends where you look, but, you know, plus or minus $50, whatever. It was $2,315 or something like that, $2,300, let's say. He's supposed to keep it at 49 2/9 dollars an ounce. It's now $2,300 in the free market. I would say that we have a very serious legal problem as well as an economic problem.
Oh, but what's law? What's legal? Who cares, right? We make them up
well,
as we go.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point, because this country was based upon, you know, they love to use the term rule of law, all right?
Right.
We had a system of laws that limited governmental power, or the power of the people in governmental offices, because they're not always exercising their powers legitimately. We now have a system of limitless power without law.
That's true.
Without constraint.
Very true.
Right? And yet we have the people, particularly in the Democratic Party, constantly lecturing us about the rule of law. No one is above the rule of law. No one is above the rule of law. Well, here's the Secretary of the Treasury. Secretary of the Treasury's off. You do the math. 49 versus 2,300. How far away from the rule of law is he?
But then, see,
I'm just picking that out of one statute.
I agree. I mean, they make those laws only apply to somebody else. They don't apply to them. They don't apply to government officials anymore. I mean, look what's done in the country in the last 4 years on this so-called COVID debauchery. Look what happened to it. Illegal, unlawful, shutting businesses down, closed down everything, and ruined, made the economy even worse than what it was. But it's all illegal, all unconstitutional, if you want to go that way with it, all immoral, but they got by with it. Now, Fauci is up on the stand, and he's crying because people are threatening his family. He started crying about that. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, we live in a time when I guess they consider us peons. We follow the rules, and they make them. I mean, that's just the way it is. They want that way. I just watched the news evening. Biden's pushed about tomorrow with some kind of executive order to cut back way back on the illegal immigration. Now, I believe that. I really do. I think he'll change his heart now, and he'll make his country bring it back down to what it ought to be. I mean, this is what we're hearing to keep appease everybody, because let's face it, in 5 months, we have an election coming up. He's got to do something.
Well, that is the problem. I mean, illegal immigration is a good example, because way back when, a few years ago, you had the sanctuary city, sanctuary county, sanctuary state. I guess New York State is a sanctuary state. Maybe a California sanctuary
too,
state.
Yes. Yes.
And this was announced not as simply a matter of, say, good tidings, as it were, but it was a matter of governmental policy in those particular sanctuary jurisdictions, which their local officials intended to enforce. Well, a lot of those sanctuary provisions, if you compared them to the immigration laws of the United States, were illegal. They weren't just something you could look at and say, well, that's not a very good political position, that's really immoral, you're undermining the country, blah, blah, blah. It was actually illegal to, I mean, there are all sorts of statutes that criminalize, impose criminal penalties on people who aid or abet illegal immigrants to receive housing or various kinds of assistance. At the point, you could take those sanctuary provisions and lay them against those statutes and say, wait a minute, we have a problem here. The people who are implementing these sanctuary provisions are, in fact, in violation of all of these immigration statutes, many of which are criminal in nature. Why weren't those people prosecuted?
True.
As far as I know, no one in those situations has ever been prosecuted.
Well, you know, you talk about unjust. And again, I'm not a Trump fan. Trump cannot save the country. No man's going to save his country now. It's too late. But nonetheless, Trump was found guilty on 34 felonies. And I watched what Hillary Clinton did, and she's still walking free. I watched them say Joe Biden, when he had top secret papers in his home. Well, he's old, his mind's feeble. I agree with that. But we can't hold him because he's too old to know better. I mean, this is what we call equal justice in this country?
Well, no, there's no equality at all. And it's interesting that demand for equality in other areas comes from the Democratic Party, but when it's application of the laws equally to their people, they're always looking the other way, giving you some excuse as to why it won't happen. Because Mr. Trump is in a very difficult position. He points this out to a certain extent, and he has obviously been the subject of a grotesquely unequal application of the law. But they obviously are not going to stop, no matter what public opinion may be, as to the fact that he's being railroaded, I guess is the proper term. That's going to continue at least through the election. And I would say that if he were elected, it would continue on to try to sabotage his next term as president. You know, there's no limit to this. What happened to him now? And again, I'm not a particular supporter of Mr. Trump because of what he did with Operation Warp Speed. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yes, and red flag laws for guns.
That was a blunder of the first magnitude on his part. and a number of other things. But that was the most, probably the most serious one of all, because of the consequences of thousands and thousands of people who died or injured by the vaccine, so-called vaccine, etc. We know all about that.
Right.
But right now, he is going to come up for sentencing. He has been convicted. That's a fait accompli. That's done. His lawyers obviously will try to appeal that, but that's a long, drawn-out process. And two layers of appeals within the New York court system, which I doubt will be amenable to giving him a break, if you will, or even looking at this matter with what I would consider the necessarily jaundiced eye. And then he would have an opportunity on certain issues to get to the Supreme Court of the United States. But it looks as if those issues would be basically procedural, which might result in his convictions being reversed, but then the case going back for a new trial. So it's not as if this thing is going to be wiped out in the next few months. So he goes for sentencing in July the 11th, I think, is the sentencing date.
Yes, it is, yes.
And some people say, oh, well, you know, the Democrats want to put him in prison. I think that would create a tremendous upheaval. So perhaps the
that would make him a martyr. He'd be a martyr then for sure. Go ahead.
Well, he's a martyr now. He's a martyr now. But if they put him in prison, it would be even worse. But the other thing that they could do, put him on probation. Now, a convicted felon, when on probation, can be subject to all kinds of restraints. Probation officer decides what his hours may be, whether he'd be subject to a curfew, determines where he, what kind of a job he could have, or that he has to have a job. I guess in Mr. Trump's situation, he probably wouldn't have a problem there. The people with whom he can associate, generally a convicted felon is not allowed to associate with other convicted felons or with people who are under indictment. So that would mean, for instance, Mr. Giuliani, I think, is under indictment now in Arizona. So Mr. Trump would not be able to associate with Mr. Giuliani. They wouldn't be able to go out and have dinner, for instance, or associate with Giuliani. That probation officer has a lot of leeway with respect to things like travel. Trump is living in New York. Can he go to Florida under a New York probation system, or will the probation officer require him to report his whereabouts or his travel? And it goes on and on and on, the potential there. And then we assume that he gets past the election. The election problem he has, of course, is that Democrats are already coming out with the mantra, this is a convicted felon. Donald Trump, convicted felon, as if the words convicted felon were part of his name. And they'll be using that over and over again to drive the independent voters, not the Democrats. They're also going to go for, they're all going to go for Biden. And the Republicans, the real Republicans, I think, to very large extent, will go for Trump. But it's that swing group in the middle, the independent voters.
Yeah, I agree. Hang on. We have to take a break now. Hang on that thought. Don't lose it. Got to take a break here. Folks, take a break.
Okay.
We'll take phone calls, too. Chime in, talk to us. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All righty, folks, we're back, and I told you we're going to bring a guest up that's a thinker and a philosopher, a man that I really enjoy listening to. That's why I'm not interrupting too much, because I'm enjoying what he's saying. He's breaking down in terms simple enough that even I can understand it. And the phone line's open at 844-769-2944. If you have any questions, comments, we want to hear from you. What you have to say, folks, is important. Don't ever think that your opinion is not valuable or your question not valuable, because it is. We're all in this thing together, and we're not doing so well. We're heading in directions, folks, that if we don't stop it soon, our grandchildren are going to curse us. And that's just the way it is. We're heading in a bad direction very quickly. So we're talking to Edwin Vieira. And Edwin, how can people contact you? How can they find out more about you?
Well, if they go to our website called News with Views,
all one word,
newswithviews.com, they'll find a large number of my internet writings. And at the base of every one of the articles, there will be an email address and a mail address, regular mail address. They can contact me that way.
Folks, newswithviews.com is also where I post articles I've written. So go there and check them out. There's a lot of good writers on there. But check out Edwin's commentaries. Please do that. I think you'll be, well, no, you'll be pleasantly surprised, but you're going to learn some things anyway, because he just tells it like it is. You know, this broadcast, folks, is, as you all know, is not here to tickle ears. It's not here to make you feel good. It's not here to make you want to just shout and donate lots of money. I wish we could do that right now, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to try to prepare you for what we are certain it's coming in this country very soon. And I do mean that. Economically, we're watching the market reach record highs. We're watching the economy fall apart at the same time. We're watching destruction of farms, hundreds of farms, of dairy farms, of poultry farms, of property being burned. We're watching all this happen, being flooded, weather modification taking on and put, causing tornadoes we never had before. Here in West Virginia, we maybe average one every 10 years, maybe. We had 13 this year already in West Virginia. And that's just why I'm saying weather modification, folks, is full blowing. And they're doing that to bring us down further on our knees economically. Not only is it hurting individuals like the farmers and maybe ourselves, but insurance companies that are insuring these places are going to go broke. They're going to quit insurance farms and insuring farms and homes along a river maybe or whatever, or places where tornadoes are apt to happen. They're going to quit insuring because they can't afford it. This is America now. And I'm telling you because of care, you better prepare yourself because it's going to be a heck of a ride ahead. And Edwin, anything that you want to add to that?
Well, one thing that struck me right away is most people don't think of this. In a crisis-laden situation, one in which is becoming more and more serious, the first thing that at least I would look to, talking to members of my family as well, is your personal health. If you need something done, an operation, dentistry, whatever, you better have it done now.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
All right. As we saw during the COVID period, that became a very difficult thing for people to get, especially treatments that were considered to be purely elective, which a lot of, say, dental situations are. All right. But if you don't have those done in a timely fashion, they may become non-elective, if you know what I mean. They may become critical. And if you're in a social breakdown situation, it may be extremely difficult at that point to have those procedures done. So get that out of the way to the extent that you can get yourself in a physically healthy situation, do so. And then, of course, financially, you don't want to be in debt. Now, I don't care what anybody says about an inflationary situation. You can pay off debt. It's wonderful to be in debt because you can pay off with cheap money. That depends upon your continuing income in that cheap money.
Uh-huh.
And if you have large debts and at the same time the chaos in the economy is destroying your job or your career or whatever it may be, your employment situation, your income stream, then those debts are going to become backbreaking, no matter how depreciated the currency becomes, because you won't be able to get the currency necessary to pay off the debt. And then thirdly, you have to have financial assets that are secure against hyperinflation. And we come back to the first two, of course, the precious metals. There's nothing that takes the same place historically as precious metals as the kind of the ultimate sea anchor against hyperinflationary events. And, of course, a place to stay. All right? Landed property, if you get your hands on it. Maybe the ability to grow some of your own food. I mean, we have people who keep, for instance, goats and cows, and not that we have farms. These are relatively small plots of land, few acres. But there are things that one can do to give oneself a certain amount of, I don't want to say complete independence, but something of a backstop. And especially if you need particular vitamins, vitamin mineral supplements, vitamins, so forth and so on, better start thinking where those are going to come from and how you're going to have a sufficient supply when the supply chain begins to break down. You know, so much of this is dependent upon the Internet now. And you hear all sorts of prognostications about the fragility, as they call it, of the electric grid in this country.
Oh, yes.
And the possibility that we could have brownouts, blackouts, whatever, leaving aside the possibility of terrorism and other untoward events of that nature.
Federal agencies are warning us now about terrorists hitting our water supplies. They're talking about it right now. And I'll make this comment very quickly. 280,000 water lines break in this country every year. 280,000 because they have not been maintained. Go ahead.
you have that kind of a problem, because this system now depends to a great deal upon production and distribution over long distances. Besides communication, obviously on the internet, you're ordering things that are coming from some other part of the country. But how do they get from that other part of the country to you? Well, think of the distribution chains, right? And the difficulties are involved there as you have economic breakdown, especially if you have financial breakdown. And so if you are dependent upon some particular medication or supplement or whatever, you better be sure that you have an ample supply of that in case of a real emergency. And then again, I'd hate to mention this one, but the fact of the matter is we're becoming an increasingly lawless society, and it will only get worse as the level of illegal immigration goes up. And people need to prepare to defend themselves, because what's the old saying? When minutes count, or when seconds count, the police are minutes away, or when minutes count, the police are hours away, whatever. In many places in this country, one cannot depend upon the designated police authorities to be at your beck and call on a more or less instant manner.
Well, let's say that it took 10 minutes. Let's say that the best scenario, 10 minutes. 10 minutes when somebody's trying to kill you is a long time.
Oh, that's right. 10 minutes on average.
Yes.
Right. Those are statistical 10 minutes, not real 10 minutes.
Right.
So you think of the acronym YOYO, YOYO, you're on your own.
Yes. Good point.
Basically. And you have to be ready for that. Now, this is not to denigrate the police, or I'm a sheriff's department is what we have here, not to denigrate those people, but there are too few of them. And the county is too big for the few we have. And at various times in the last few years, we've seen all of the emergency response people have been out. In fact, there was one point a few years ago where if you had called the 911 with a heart attack, they would have said you have to get to the hospital on your own.
Wow.
We can't get anyone to you for less than 30 minutes because so many things had happened all at once. It was just one of those confluence of circumstances. We didn't have a tornado or something, but it just so happened. And no one could have predicted that.
Oh,
right? No. There wasn't an emergency storm warning prediction of anything. It was nothing like that. It just happened. And at that point in time, for a few hours, if you called 911 with a real emergency, I'm dying of a heart attack, they would have said, find someone to drive you to the hospital. We can't send anyone. We have no one to send. They're all out.
That's amazing.
So we have to look at that as a possibility and combine all of those things to the best ability of one's finances and personal situation, because government at any level is simply not going to either be capable of providing for you or desirous of providing for you. And that goes in reverse order. I mean, I think the local people still are desirous of doing it, but they may not be able. The people who might be able at the upper level are not desirous. They really don't give a symbol full of cold spit about any of us.
That's very, very true.
At the upper levels of the system.
That's sad,
we are, as Hillary Clinton so correctly described us, the deplorables, in her vernacular.
Right? I want to ask
the deplorables, and they don't care.
I want to ask one more question. We'll have to get the phone line in a second. I'm asking one question. I've studied enough in history and what's happening in the world today to understand some things about what comes together when things fall apart for the nations economically, and the power structure inside turns into chaos like it has in this country. One of the things that about every time it happens in a country, it would be Israel when Netanyahu fall in our favor, and other places, they start a war. And we are not by any means above going to war, are we?
Well, we're involved in a number of wars right now, at least indirectly.
Yes, we are.
Right, you have Ukraine, Russia, that's one. And there's no sign that that is going to abate in the near future. You have the situation in the Middle East, which involves more than Israel and Gaza, obviously. There are many other countries that are involved, Syria, Iraq, I mean, all sorts of things are going on there that are really independent of the immediate situation in Israel. Right, and that's a chronic situation. How long has that been going on? Since 1947?
Yes.
47, 48?
Well, you know, the
approximately
the
when upheaval, that really started?
The upheaval between the Muslims and, we'll say, the we'll call them Israelites, started with Abraham, of course, with Sarah and
that's right. If you really,
Hagar,
want,
yeah.
if you really want to go back, that's right.
Yeah, it started
think
back
of recent
there.
Times. Right. Okay, recent times. And then you have the Chinese, of course, with the question of Taiwan, the relationship of Taiwan to mainland China, and a lot of other things going on in that area, that China versus the Philippines with respect to various islands, China even with respect to Vietnam over some islands that are in the South China Sea. So everywhere you look, at least where there are major powers concerned, and the United States is always involved with the various major powers in the world, there are wars or rumors of wars already with us.
Yes, those certainly are.
This is a prediction we have to make. It's here right now.
Well, it's fulfilling Scripture. And also, I don't know what's going to happen between now and the election. I don't know. I mean, I can speculate there'll be some really hellish things happen. Maybe even war. I don't know that. But I see a lot of things happen between now and the next 5 or 6 months. But in your learned speculation, what do you see as a major event that could happen now, say, between now and November? Just something that you thought. And folks, get your phone call in a minute, I promise. Go ahead, Edwin.
Well, the one major event that they seem to be threatening is the use of NATO-supplied long-distance weaponry for the Ukrainians, or more likely the French and British and American advisors of the Ukrainians,
yes,
to strike at targets well within Russia. And Putin and Lavrov and Medvedev, the main speakers on the Russian side, have said, well, this is a red line. If you start doing that, then we are going to strike in such a way as to eliminate that threat. Well, how far does that go, and what type of weaponry would the Russians use or realistically threaten? And then, of course, you're on the escalation ladder, right?
Right.
One threat leads to another and so forth and so on. And I mean, the whole place is a tinderbox. And if you look at, I mean, if I look at the Russians, and whatever one wants to say about them, they are calculating their leadership and competent in their own sense of what they want to do.
Yes, they are.
That's not true of the people we have at the highest levels of the government in Washington.
Well, compared to what they have, we have nothing but clowns in office. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Chris. Chris, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, good evening, Budge.
Good evening.
Yeah, we're in some very perilous times. You're right. Your guess is right. You know, there's censorship going out there, getting the truth out. They want to shut the internet down. If the internet goes down, you better be prepared how to, like your guest says, get some food, learn how to farm, and grow your own food, and know how to heat your home if everything goes down. This is not a conspiracy theory. And some of the people out here think, oh, there's nothing wrong, the government wouldn't do that. Well, you're going to be sorry if it happens, because what are you going to do when it really strikes you? We have to be with our neighbors, get with some strong Christian people out here, because this is biblical, what's coming down. They want to, Butch, you can lose your program. You know that? They can shut down the Global Star Network. They're going after all the truthers out there. They can happen to Doug Thornton, Ted Brewer. They can censor anything out there. You have to get real, folks. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is biblically real.
Yes, it is. It truly is. And just something to think, if the internet went down, now think about this. What if cell phones quit working? Oh, that would be outright chaos. People would clamor for help. I believe they'd turn in everything they had, including their grandma, to get the phone fixed.
Well, one interesting thing that your caller suggested that we hadn't mentioned was developing and maintaining local social networks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
People supporting each other, especially people with different skills, so that you don't have, in a sense, all your eggs in one basket. There are other people you can turn to that have skills that you may need, will need, in the case of some type of social breakdown. And that starts, of course, with your own family. I have six children, adults, and they have so many grandchildren, I can't even count them anymore. But they all live, almost five out of six live within an hour away from me. So they have a familial support network. And then your local support network of, one would hope, neighbors that you can communicate with and trust. And that can be through the church or other institutions, or perhaps simply because they're people that you know that you socialize with. And start talking to them and say, what are we going to do as a group? What do we need to think about in case these things happen? They may not. You don't want to be a catastrophard, as the French would say. You know, someone that's always like Chicken Little, the sky is going to fall tomorrow. But on the other hand, we've seen throughout the 20th century these near catastrophes occurring in other countries, and we can see the handwriting on the wall here in the United States, for heaven's sake.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's nothing like, I mean, just think of what happened during the COVID episode.
Oh, I mean, fear grasped people by the millions and caused them to go and get their jabs, and all of them are dying now because of it. Yeah, it took over. Anything else, Chris, very quickly?
And you can't move. You can't go to work.
No, you can't go to work.
You can't socialize. You can't go to church. Remember those events.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how can you go to work? And companies have been shut down anyway. Chris, anything else very quickly?
Yeah, I just want to say, I know you got to get to other calls. Don't fear, folks. Research. Look at the 19th and 18th centuries, when long before the internet, telephones, how people came together and lived. You could do it, but we've been so spoiled in the mid-20th century. Look what we're at. We're just so too much entertainment, this, that. Learn to put that aside and open your eyes and see what may be coming.
Amen. Good right. call, Chris. Thank you. Good call. Folks,
thank
lines
you.
Open, 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. Your opinion, my friends, is very valuable. We want to hear it. You may have some ideas that we need to consider. Folks, this is a group think. People I like to think with level minds and level heads, and most of them out there are believers. They're doing their best to live righteously and do what's right. This is a time to get together and share thoughts. That's what the radio broadcast is all about. That's why we go worldwide trying to reach people every night. Prayerfully, we are making a difference. I hope we are. Pray we are. But, you know, that's entirely in our Father's hands. I'm doing the best I can on my end, and I want to hear from you all, too. So 844-769-2944. We're down about the last 5 minutes here, Edwin. So in your opinion, and I know you've done a lot of study and that put a lot of thought processes in what's happening, economically, morally we're finished. Economically, also, I think we're done. We're finished. But do you see an outbreak of almost like civil war in this country in the near future?
Well, I think that the likelihood, let's not talk about probabilities, that's a mathematical judgment, but the likelihood is yes, because that is always a solution of the political class when economic and social problems get out of hand. When they really need to regiment everyone behind whatever their approach is going to be, which is usually the salvation of themselves and their political structure.
Sure.
War is perfect because it creates first the excuse for regimentation, and then to a large extent people will, quote, rally round the flag, unquote, if you know what I mean, without thinking about what they're rallying for.
That's happened many, many times in our history, yes.
Over and over again, it seems almost as if that's like the trump card that's in the political deck that these people are playing with.
Yes, I agree.
As soon as they see that they're losing too many hands in the cultural, social, economic, and general political area, then they play the joker. And unfortunately for us, the United States, that is. It doesn't look as if we're entirely in control of this joker, that we're the ones that are going to be playing it. There are other powers in this world that have quite a bit more stability in critical areas than we do. The Chinese, the Russians, right? The BRICS, if you're talking about economic and world financial arrangements, that can take action which would precipitate intentionally, probably not intentionally, inadvertently, a warfare situation. You look at World War One. What started World War One, Pastor?
A lie.
The assassination of an Austrian archduke in an obscure part of what is now Yugoslavia, Serbia. All right.
Well, look what started World War
Two. Assassination of two people. Assassination of two people destroyed the entire structure of European civilization.
Yep. And look what started World War Two. Look what started Vietnam. I mean, look at the whole. This is This is part of the scheme. We're down to about the last couple minutes here, and the phones are not ringing. I'm surprised. That's okay. So I'm gonna give my opinion. My opinion and $5 to buy a cup of coffee. You just wait and see. But anyway, in my gut feeling, I guess you could say, between now and November, I think we're gonna see a lot of chaos in this country. I don't know which way it's gonna go. I don't know what it's gonna be. But we're seeing upheavals in every area of our lives, from things as common sense as boys not going to girls' bathrooms, causing divisions and fights and bloodshed even. We're seeing this happen. So there's nothing left to build on, Edwin. There's nothing left in this nation to build on except the faith of individuals and trust in God. And if we don't get back to that individually, not just nationwide, but individually, we don't have a snowball's chance. So we need to plan, pray, and prepare for the future. Now, what do you want to say in closing? You got about 1 minute left.
I agree with you 100%. Everything starts with the individual and the family and the local community. If you don't have those, you don't have yourself squared away morally, right, and spiritually. Yes. You don't have your family squared away and as many people in your local community as possible, then all bets are off.
I agree. I totally agree. And there's nothing to hang on to without faith in our Savior, our Creator. There's nothing
to hang on to.
Without that hope, I can understand when somebody go out and get drunk to try and survive. But with the hope of Christ, no matter what comes upon us, even if it means death, as Hebrews 11 says, someone lived in caves, they were destitute, they had nothing. That can happen to us also, folks. But without hope, that faith, we can survive it till our Father calls us home. Edwin Vieira, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been a pleasure and a very interesting discussion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
I'll be calling you again, I promise. We'll get in touch again, okay?
All right. Thank you.
God bless, my friend. Folks, we're flat out of time. But please, we do need help. So I'm going to say, I'm not going to get any more detail now. We need help. Last month was disastrous, donation-wise. But we have bills to pay, honestly, dude. We do love you a bunch. By the grace of God, we'll be seeing you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night. And stick to your guns and stick to your faith in Christ. Bye-bye.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of God.